And a very good morning to you. Welcome into the program. We'll come to you live from Kenny's Bar here in Ballygar. We're with you right through till 12 midday. The fun has already started and you might hear it in the background, and let them at it. We're joined shortly by Tom Kenny and Maria Kelly. They're going to be joining us as well. We've many, many guests here, including Pat Regan. Margaret Egan is going to be joining us. We're going to be looking at life and sport here as well. Kelly Conroy is going to be joining us, and many other people. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do so today. And if you have memories of Ballygar, get them to us please on 086 38 33 553, or you can email comments at goldbybfm.ie. It's a beautiful Friday here in Ballygar. We're with you right through until 12 midday. Now, really, the lovely morning sun is here in Ballygar. Wherever you're listening to us today, do let us know, please, to that number, 086 38 33 553. I want to go, though, to Tom Kenny, who sits opposite me today, and he has many stories to tell, and Maria Kelly, indeed, his niece, joins us as well. Morning to you, Tom. How are you?
Very good now, Keith.
Thanks for joining. Thanks for letting us in, by the way, today.
And thank you for coming to Ballygar.
Come here to me. I'm going to ask Maria as well. You better count the cutlery before we leave, because we have big bags with us today. Talk to me a little bit, because your dad died you were quite young when your dad died.
Yeah, I was just 16 when my father died. I did my intercert and 1965. And when I came home after the 20th of June, 1965, my father just got sick. And I couldn't go back to college, as I was the oldest of the family, and I had to stay here in the business with my mother.
Yeah.
So my father died 5 months after, in January, 66. So I was here until 2003. That's 38 years.
And again, you've seen massive changes in that 38 years.
Huge changes.
From the simple life that was Ballygar to now all this modern day life.
Yeah, well, for a start, we had 15 pubs, and every pub had a sideline, every pub had a small grocery, or they had a business, trainer's garage, Morton's undertakers and auctioneers, and Ryan's travel agency across the road where the five tickets for the Titanic were bought in 1912.
Get away.
And every pub had a sideline. But after that, the number of pubs now has gone down now to five or six at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate to see that.
And I see, are the Morton's still involved next door then? Right next door to you here?
Oh, they are. David Morton there, driving, undertaking and auctioneering and pub business.
But again, that's what is lovely about rural Galway and rural Ireland, is that a lot of the older businesses stuck together, and it's different and difficult now. But do you look back fondly on the heady days of the 60s, 70s and 80s?
It was completely different. We had to, when I was a young fella here, we had to do our own bottling Guinness, and that was my job when I was 10 or 12 years old. I had to wash the bottles.
Did you do a good job on it now?
We did our best, but it was a bottle brush and a bath of water.
Yeah, and tough.
We had to wash the bottles, and I knew every bottle. There was 128 bottles in a firkin of stout, half-pint bottle, 64 pints.
Get away.
The next day, then, when the bottles were dry, I bottled the Guinness, and my father corked the bottles, and then later on, we got a capping machine.
And was that before then the draft came in with the
garden? No, we had draft. We had draft.
But bottles were still in vogue.
Oh, they were, yeah. But the original draft was the old, you filled the pint straight out of the barrel.
Yeah.
You had to have two barrels tapped. You had to have one that would be half gone and one full, so that you'd have high Guinness, you know.
Yeah.
And you had to let the pint settle down, and you fill it from a white enamel jug into the pint glass. And I remember the day the Guinnesses came and put the new taps on the counters. The first draft that went on the counters.
Wow.
And it was a great day that day. Guinness's commercial travellers and salespeople were out, and everybody got free pints from the new thing. And they didn't like it.
Is that the last time they got free pints here?
No, not really. No. But they didn't like the new Guinness. They thought the old stuff filled from the jug was the best. But anyway, that changed as time went on.
Yeah. Mm. And come here to you, was there fair days then here in Ballygar?
Oh, yeah. Well, the cattle fair day was on the 18th of every month. You would have 600 cattle on the street. Every 18th, and we could have no national school. Primary school had to close because there were too many cattle in the street. So the kids in school had the 18th of every month off, and the Thursday before that we had the pig fair day, because every farmer in the country and every house used to rear a couple of pigs.
Yeah.
And they were brought in. Castlebar Bacon Company and Claire Morris Bacon Company used to have their lorry parked in the square, and the buyers would go down the town and buy the pigs out of the carts and load them up and away. But unfortunately, down through the years, anyway, the fairs, the Mart and Roscommon started there in the early 70s.
Mm.
And the fair started to dwindle. So we tried to revive the fair, and on the last cattle fair day was the 18th of February 1974, and we had a couple of local men here, Sean Octon from Mount Talbot and Mikey Joe McDonald. They have passed now, those men. They tried to revive the fair, and the revival late that on the 18th of February 74 failed, and that finished the fair.
But I mean, and the young people around now wouldn't even remember this, but the cattle were walked to the fairs.
Walked to the fair, yeah.
Yeah, there was no big trucks or cars or trailers.
Oh no, there was no trucks, and that's why we thought that this cattle mart in Roscommon, when it started, we thought that was a joke.
Yeah.
Because fellas couldn't drive cattle into Roscommon, so the next thing, a couple of fellas started getting tractors and trailers, big trailers, yeah, and started drawing them in.
Jobbers and cattle dealers.
The jobbers, yeah.
Yeah.
They started bringing them into the mart in Roscommon, and it killed the fair.
Yeah. So there's the negatives. But if we look at some of the positives then, I mean, you had the carnival then was a big thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Ballygar Carnival since 1945. This year is the 80th year of Ballygar Carnival. And
the 80th, wow.
80th, yeah. 1945 it started. And Cannon Feely started the carnival to build an extension onto the Catholic Church out here, which was built in 1957. And the carnival really has paid for everything in the town, the school, the playground, everything in the town.
Isn't it kind of strange that the Catholic Church was very strict back then, but he needed the money, so he approved the carnival?
Oh, they did, yeah, they did.
Isn't it? It's kind of strange, really, when you think about it.
And we had all huge people here. And, of course, the biggest bands ever we had here were, we had Smokey here, and Larry Cunningham drew the biggest crowd ever.
Living next door to Alice?
Living next door to Alice, yes.
Smokey.
We had Smokey here twice.
Get away. Mm. Oh, wow.
And of course, Larry Cunningham drew the biggest crowd ever. The reported that there was 1,700 people came to Larry.
Telephones then, was there a telephone kiosk here? Because, I mean, telephones would have been fairly rare now in rural
Well, I can tell you all about the problems I had with the telephone, because I was secretary of the Ballygar Carnival for 13 years, from 1980 to 86 first, and then in the 90s for 5 years. I would have to go to the local kiosk.
Yeah.
With a bag of 2 shilling pieces, £5 bag of 2 shilling pieces, and dialed for Dublin, and I'd have to phone Louis Walsh. I knew Louis very well. And Tommy Hayden was the manager, and Seamus Casey was Joe Dolan's manager. I'd have to go to those, phone them, and I'd be half an hour waiting for the telephone exchange to answer. And then when they get to Dublin...
They were busy, you see, though. They were busy. They were busy, so they were...
Oh, they were busy.
Yeah.
But anyway, they'd get through to Louis Walsh's office, and Louis would be out. So I'd have to, after waiting a half an hour to get through, he wouldn't be there, and I'd have to ring back again. It was a nightmare trying to book the bands, you know.
And come here, you see, an awful lot of the young people that are here today, they wouldn't even recognise that. So you picked up the phone, and then it would go to the exchange, maybe in Roscommon, and then you'd be 5-2 or 4-2 or otherwise, and then they'd say, where do you want to go, Mr. Kenny, on this one? Yeah. And you tell them, then they tell you how much to put in, and then they'd connect you. But they were listening as well.
Wouldn't
they be listening in? And come here, were you watching Celebrity Big Brother then with Louis on it, making a right fool of himself?
Oh, I was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Louis was a great character.
He still is, but
he knew Ballygar well.
He made a lot of money now, so
he did.
Yeah. And come here to me. You said to me earlier on there that you ran this business until when?
Until 2003.
2003. What made you change things in 2003?
Well, I was here for 38 years, and I didn't want to work for 100 hours a week anymore. And I said, I'm going to give a chance to somebody else. So we rented it out for 18 years, and then Maria took it over, is running it since that.
So Maria's your niece then?
She is, yeah. She's running it for the last 3 years.
So you kept it in the family?
We did, yeah. We did.
Yeah. So you're proud of her?
Oh, I am, yeah.
Are you giving her preferential rent now, are you?
That's confidential now.
Yeah, but sure, look, there's only a few of us listening to you this morning. Yeah. You're grand. Yeah. Do you miss it, or do you still pop in?
Oh, no, well, I do. I give her a hand here three nights a week. I work here.
So you still
I do, because I like to conversate with all the customers. I don't like it when it's too busy the weekends. I like to be able to talk to fellas out in the air.
But I kind of gather, and I've only met you a few minutes ago, that you like to talk.
Oh, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you'll get used to that when you're behind the counter for 40 years.
So do you hear confessions as well now?
I do.
And do you give absolution?
I do, general absolution.
General absolution. After 5 pints, you give the general absolution.
Oh, yeah.
And would you take a drink at all yourself?
Oh, I do, yeah. I do.
Not when you're working, though.
No. I like to sit outside the counter and have one.
and talk to people as well.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Stay with me if you don't mind. Maria, good morning to you. How are you today? Thanks for letting us in today.
You're very welcome.
You've had a fairly checkered life yourself. You've lived in the UK, Abu Dhabi.
Checkered
in a nice way.
Ah, yeah.
What made you decide to come back to Ballygar?
Well, look, like everyone else, I went abroad teaching, and there's so many abroad teaching now, and I did 3 years in the UK, and it was then 8 years in Abu Dhabi. I did a bit of a career jump in Abu Dhabi from teaching into community development, and was trying to build up a charity out there, and there was government funding coming in, and then COVID happened and the funding fell through. So I said, it's time to go home to the mammy fridge. So I said, I'd come home for a few months to reassess.
Go back. I don't like that word, mammy fridge.
But the mammy fridge.
In other words, you go back and eat all her food.
That's exactly
it. She fills it and she pays for it.
Absolutely, and I'm still doing it.
So I wonder she's turning blue today. So good Lord, at all. But what was it like coming back? Because Abu Dhabi and being there for that length of time and getting used to warm weather and not having the mammy fridge and having freedom and all that?
I don't know, maybe you need to go away to start appreciating home. They always say the grass is greener, but the grass is greener wherever you water it. So I think by being away...
I like that statement.
Yeah, by being away, I think I've appreciated home a lot more now.
Yeah, but then to come back into your grandfather's and your uncle's business then, it's very nostalgic, I would think, for you as you lock the door at night time.
I never had any intention of being in here. I don't know, just the timing, I guess, of everything that happened. When I came home, I guess the lease was up of the previous family, the Doyle family, were renting out for 18 years. And fair play to them, because now I look at 18 years and I'm like, how would I ever do this for 18 years? The timing came up, yeah.
Yeah. Have you 3 years done?
Two and a half years done.
You have 33 and a half to go to catch up with them. 35 and a half to go, yeah.
Tom be around forever now because he's my backbone at the moment around this place.
But go back to it though, I mean, the nostalgia of it and your grandfather and then uncle and now you.
Yeah, I guess my memories growing up, I would always remember coming down to Granny in the kitchen here and Margaret Egan, who you'll hear from later on, every weekend. So I'd have great memories of Ballygar, and we'd have cousins who have a pub down the road, Martin's Bar. So we used to love coming down here and raiding the cans of Coke every weekend, and the place just being alive, like it was hard to get in through the door. And that was back in a time when there was more than 10 pubs. And it was the place to be. I guess it was a big change over the years now as well. But like every rural village, you know, things are... rural villages are going through their own challenges now of losing businesses.
They are, and I mean, the whole drinking and driving time, I mean, that's kind of killed off a lot of the trade here.
Oh, it did. Fellas got too afraid now for driving. They won't have one even in driving. And the COVID then played hell as well.
People
got into the habit of maybe drinking at home, and some people never got back into the habit of going to the pub again, you know.
Yeah. Maria, would you see that now? Do you try and bring people home?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we do. And it's the biggest challenge, even trying to get a taxi. There's no taxi around in rural villages. And even in Roscommon town, it's a struggle for people who want to go out for the night out and just cannot get a taxi home. So it is a real barrier, absolutely, in the pub business.
Yeah, but even where we live ourselves, like there is the taxis, you're talking about if you go to Galway City, you're talking about €30 for a taxi home, and we're not that far out, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for the older people in the village, it's very hard for them because we're used to going to for a few pints and then just meandering home. They can't do that.
Times have definitely changed. You would have grown up thinking, oh, everyone like dad or whatever, and everyone would go up to the pub for their usual 2 pints at night time and come home, but you can't do that at all anymore.
But as Tom was saying, though, it was a chat, it was socialising, that's what it was. It was breaking the day, you know, it was a break from the routine of the day, farming or whatever you were doing at the time.
Yeah, and I think especially we really see that since COVID as well. It's not only the rules against drinks driving, but COVID has really changed the social landscape. You know, those who got used to drinking at home, I guess, over COVID, and mostly elderly as well, are now out of sight of mind. We probably haven't seen them since COVID, and I guess that's really, really changed things because the fear of coming out, and we're getting all very paranoid, I guess, in that.
And did you do the takeaway pints during COVID or anything like that?
No, we weren't open at that time. So we came in just at the end of COVID. So when we opened first, it was the table service, 2 meter rule. Yeah. Nobody talked to each other.
Yeah. And did you have to have food as well for a while?
No, we came in just after that, where you had to serve food in order to be able to open. Thankfully, because that's a total different ball game.
My associate producer, indeed, your uncle Tom Kenny, said, "Ask me about other businesses." Oh, you want me to ask you about other businesses? I thought it was Marie you wanted.
Well, no, there's a couple of businesses.
He'd be grand, you know, if you're stuck for a producer next week.
No, there are a few businesses here in town that I'd have to speak up for it. Budget for a start, Raymond McCann. And also Murray Timber Products. They're absolutely fantastic employers here in the town. And God, you know, we haven't much other business here in town. But McCann's Budget and Paddy Murray's sawmill has been the lifeline of the town.
A lifeline for here, yeah. And they have been for years.
Oh, they have for years. And yeah. I think we have to acknowledge that.
Yeah. Come here to you. What's this about All Ireland medals? Did you win them or collect them or buy them?
Oh, I'm the only man in Ballygar with 5 All-Ireland senior football medals.
Go away.
Yeah.
But can I ask you, and I shouldn't know, how did you get them? Did you win them?
No, I actually collect medals.
Do
I collect
you really?
GAA medals. I do.
You had me on the run now, yeah, for a while. I said, he does look fit now. But 5 All-Ireland medals, I was going to say, who are you playing for? So you have a passion for the GAA.
I have, yeah. I love GAA memorabilia and Ballygar. My passion really is Ballygar. Ballygar Hurling Club really is me number one.
Yeah.
And the happiest day I ever had in my life was the day Ballygar won the Roscommon Senior Hurling Final in 1985. And we went all the way to the Connacht Final and Turlochmore beat us by 1 point in the Connacht Senior Hurling Final.
Turlochmore
and Turlochmore Galway. And there was 3 or 4 of the Galway team on the Turlochmore team and we nearly got them.
Nearly.
It was a great day.
Yeah. But you've had happy days since 1985, surely.
Oh, yeah, I had loads of happy days. Loads of happy days.
I thought you said the best day of your life was in 1985.
Well, it was one of the best days ever. Definitely one of the best sporting days ever.
And come here, there is quite a bit of rivalry between Roscommon and Galway.
Well, there is, but it'd be friendly banter. It'd be friendly banter in the pub.
What's your definition of friendly banter?
Oh, fellas slagging each other, you know, just having a... I remember two old men that used to come into the pub here, and one of them could see only Roscommon, and the other man could only see Galway. And one of them, anyway, a local man, Andy Kelly here, the man is deceased now, a lovely man. He used to boast about Galway that we won the 3 in a row.
Yeah.
And there was another man from Roscommon said, "Well, we won the 2 in a row." And he said, "You did during the war." He said, "When all the good men were out fighting." That kind of slagging.
Yeah. They wouldn't tear the shirts off each other's back.
No, never. As a matter of fact, in 1998, I remember the Connacht final, Galway beat Roscommon, and the carnival in Ballygar was on, and we had a load of English fishermen here, back from Stoke-on-Trent, and they couldn't believe that there could be fellas with Roscommon jerseys and Galway jerseys in the one pub.
Right.
And not alone that, but the staff behind the counter, we had 2 Roscommon people behind the counter with Roscommon jerseys, and Shane McDonough, Matty McDonough's son, was working here as well. Yeah. He had a Galway jersey. And these fellas couldn't believe that this could happen.
Because it wouldn't happen in the UK.
No, it wouldn't happen in England.
No, it wouldn't. And come here to, where were they fishing when they were here in Ballygar?
On the River Sook and Hollygrove Lake. They do coarse fishing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, was that big business at the time?
Oh, it was, yeah. My mother used to have a B&B here, and we had English fishermen here for going back to 1958.
My God. Well, I wish I could talk to you for the rest of the day, but unfortunately, Marie has us under the cloth, so she has today, and we have to move on, and we have to talk to other people as well. It's lovely to meet you, and I know you have some other scales for me, so I'm going to get that during the 10 o'clock news off you. Marie, good luck. Weekends, are they the biggest trade nights for you?
Yeah, but coming into the summertime, I guess it gets busier. Do you know, the winter is tough enough going. January and February are quiet, but... yeah, weekends.
And do you have to do food now during the, or do you?
We haven't given into it yet. And I think
It's an expensive part of the trade.
And I wouldn't have enough experience in that one. But yeah, like, it's expensive, the overheads. You need to know what you're doing,
yeah,
I guess. And I would always have the perception that it's either a drinking pub or a food pub. And this pub will always be a drinking pub.
Yeah.
So
listen, well done to you, and keep raiding Mom's fridge. That's very good.
Thanks, very good of you.
Very kind of you.
Thanks.
We'll give you the ticket for that, and thanks indeed, Tom, for joining us as well. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a short commercial break from here. It's currently 9:29, and we're back just after these. Stay tuned for that, and more to come between now and 12 midday.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motorball. Drive happy in Windsor Motorball Galway with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission Mignon.
Now, inadvertently, I got up early this morning, totally by mistake, because I misread the clock, so I didn't. I got up very early this morning, but I'm actually glad I did, because I normally do get up early, but I got up earlier this morning, because the crew here now in Ballygar are well ahead of me, so they are, and they're up for fun here. Louise Houlihan joins me, and Melissa Healy joins me, but Louise joins me. And Louise, morning to you. How are you today?
I've been on the sugar-free Monster this morning, just so I was, so I'm able for you. Now.
You're on the sugar-free Monster. Pray tell a 62-year-old, what is sugar-free Monster? Is it a drink?
It's energy drinks, but kind of healthy because it's sugar-free.
Well, you must have all had something before you came in here today, because you're all gamey, so you are. Listen, talk to me a little bit, because I love the idea of Ballygar Mental Health Awareness and Promotion that you do. I know there's been tragedies and all that goes with it, and you're the founder of it, but how did this come about?
I suppose it just originated from my own lived experience. I suppose I've, you know, would have gone through different mental health struggles in my younger years and since then, and in my family as well. So I suppose it my passion for it really, and then as I returned to the community as an adult, it was more important to me that, you know, that level of support for friends and neighbours potentially going through similar was really important. And obviously with waiting lists for, you know, mental health support services and lack of immediate services in the area, I felt it was important that, like, I suppose a first aid approach should be taken. So, like, the way we'd look at first aid in a physical sense, that a similar kind of first aid model should be available maybe for mental health.
But I think you're great to be as honest as you are, because mental health is like having a bad appendix or having a broken toe or something. It is mental health, but there's that kind of small town taboo to it that there shouldn't be.
Absolutely, and I think that's a hangover from, we'll say, maybe your own generation and our grandparents' generation.
Don't be picking on me. I'm picking on me.
I'm not blaming you.
It'd be nice, yeah. No, but you're right, though.
But it's still, I think it's still around that kind of feeling of shame and that there's something kind of inherently wrong with us, because maybe we're struggling with our mental health. But I think, you know, there has been a lot of positive change and outcomes. But I think, especially in a small town where we all know each other, or we think we do, it's important that you kind of challenge that. And, like, you know, I'm only kind of putting my voice to it, not because I like talking about myself, but just because I think if it takes one person to stand up and say, yeah, that happened to me and that happened to people in my family, you know, it'll open the door maybe for somebody else to go, yeah, actually, I feel like that sometimes too,
But I still think we have to talk about it. And yes, maybe my generation were the ones that were, you know, the tutted it or whatever, because that's what's like then. But it's changed now, and there should be more support and resources there for mental health in every village, not just Ballygar.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's credit to volunteers in Ballygar and up and down the country in villages and towns that, I suppose, volunteerism is the bread and butter of every community, really. But sometimes when the services are lacking, for whatever reason, it's down to people with passion for different initiatives and different things to kind of start, you know, initiatives like this. And, you know, you always will find a like-minded soul around the place as well that will jump on board and give you a dig out as well.
The fact that you did it organically and because you know what the journey you've been on, I think that's lovely. But you've gone on to study now.
Yeah, so I'm doing my master's in counselling and psychotherapy at the moment. And definitely, I never thought I'd be doing a master's at all, because I'm not that type of academic, or I wouldn't have thought I was anyway. But next year I'll graduate. And my plan is to have my own practice in the locality in terms of counselling. We'll see how it goes, but hopefully that's the idea.
Where are you doing that master's?
I'm doing it with ICAS, which are based in Limerick, and so it's kind of blended learning, and I'm doing that part-time.
And are you enjoying it?
Yeah, do you know, it's like, I was kind of thinking about the pressure we can sometimes put on Leaving Cert students to kind of know what they want to do at 17, 18, which is ludicrous. And, like, I'm 41, and the times, the amount of stuff that I've changed, like what I wanted to do and different kind of things I wanted to go into, has changed so many times. But it's certainly on day one of my course, kind of with the people that was in it, I certainly felt like this was absolutely my home in terms of where I should be and where I want to be, and definitely my career going forward, I think.
You don't look 41, first of all.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you don't.
That's nice,
look,
yeah.
You don't look 41 at all. Stay with me if you don't mind, because I do want to go back. And I want to come back to you again, because, I mean, I think when you tell your own story, I think it's magic, Louise, that people can say, well, if Louise can do it, I can do it as well. But I want to go back to your colleague indeed. Melissa, morning to you as well. How are you today?
Good morning, how are you?
Can I pull you in there a little bit to me there?
I'm trying to get away.
I know that. There's an awful lot of people trying to do that to me. But come into that there.
Not just from you.
No. Listen, I know you're involved with community development in FOSS and all that, and you're the assistant supervisor there in social services. This is a very important part of life in Ballygar.
Well, community employment scheme in general is very important nationwide.
Yeah.
If you took them out of the community, you would miss them. I know there can be, no more than mental health, there can be a sort of a stigma about being on a community employment scheme or what was known as FOSS schemes.
Yeah.
And that has still stuck around, unfortunately.
It is, but they've been hard fought for down through the years, because there was a cut in funding, all of that type of stuff.
There's a constant cut in funding.
There's a constant battle.
Like, price hikes have gone up. For the materials that we use for diesel, like, we're involved with Meals on Wheels, social services. We do community aid for the pitches. We do Tidy Towns. We're a huge backup for Tidy Towns. Like, they are big things in a community. But it's also focused, as Louise says, on mental health. You're getting people that mightn't have been out in the community before out doing something important, keeping communities turning over, learning themselves, getting paid for it, and hopefully upskilling and getting into full-time employment.
But you see, it's the interaction with other people that maybe gives them a better quality of life.
It's huge. Like, during COVID, because community employment came under voluntary, we were allowed out. So some of my staff became in because they really suffered during COVID. They came out, they did a few bits and pieces, they went home, they interacted with other people at a safe distance.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely fantastic, because you could see when they came back to work during COVID, they didn't know where they were or what was happening.
I love the way you say that they're your staff, because, so you're their leader there, and they
call, I don't know about leader.
No, I hope you are. But referring to them as staff means that they're really a key part of a team.
Oh, they are. They're a huge part. Like, Ballygar, I suppose, Community Employment or Ballygar CE scheme, we stood alone a few years ago. Then through different changes, different departments, we ended up amalgamating with Bellew District Development.
Yeah.
So we cover Ballygar and Newbridge, but we're also down in Mount Bellew. So you're widening the community and you're widening the people that are coming on to the scheme. And I think of them as family. We all work together. Yeah. We're a happy little bunch. We get out, we do what was needed, and we enjoy it.
And do you have a day service with the elderly here as well?
The social services is one of the sectors that I volunteer with. So we run on a Friday, we run a sort of a dinner club. Actually, Margaret Egan, who you'll be talking to later, is one of our lovely ladies who comes to lunch with us.
Which one of them is Margaret now? Margaret is
the lovely lady in blue.
Whose daughter is robbing the fridge.
Yeah.
Go on, yeah. We'll call her as it is now, yeah.
Yeah, so on a Friday evening, or Friday from about 12 onwards, we open. We've just actually finished a 6-week chair Pilates course with them, which I think went down quite well.
Mm. And when you say a lunch club, then, so do you provide lunch for them, dinner for them?
We cook a home-cooked 3-course meal on a Friday, every Friday. But as well, on top of that, we do Easter baskets, we do Christmas baskets,
and
we go around.
How many would you have coming into it?
We have at the minute about 6 or 7 coming into us. We did have a much bigger, but unfortunately, age and circumstances and COVID had a lot to answer for. So bit by bit, we're building it back up again.
But the more and more rural we go, and I mean, onto the border of Roscommon here,
yes.
this is as far as we've come, Williamstown and here, but you can actually see the effect and the after effect of COVID.
Oh, it's been a huge, like, I have one or two ladies that should be back but don't want to come back. They're not safe in themselves. They don't feel safe to come back, which is a pity, because, again, it's something, like, it's not just for ladies, it's for anybody. Anybody over 65 that's alone, isolated, wants to come up, talk to people, have a bit of fun, have a bit of crack, and have a nice meal.
And come here to you, you're from Joe Dolan country, Mullingar.
I am indeed, I'm from Joe Dolan country.
What brought you from I don't mean that like that, no. Joe Dolan played here once upon a time.
I went to school with one of Ronan Casey.
Get away.
He was in my year.
Wow. But what brought you to Ballygar?
I actually thought I was going to Newbridge in County Kildare. Yeah, geography was not my strong point, obviously.
I'm married to a lady whose geography is not her strong point either, so I understand that. So Newbridge, you were coming to, but it was Newbridge, County Galway, not?
Yes.
You must have been frightfully disappointed.
Well, I suppose Mullingar is quite big, and then you come down to here, and it's quite small, and there was a bit of, oh.
But I think, I thought you were thinking of the silverware, Newbridge silverware. You were thinking about
more of the shops.
Yeah, the shops. and the vibrancy of the land down there, and all of that.
Yeah.
But why did you come to Newbridge then?
I met a man. Fell in love from Newbridge, from a good family in Newbridge, and we decided that we would settle down here.
And did you meet in Dublin, or did you meet?
We actually met in Mullingar. He was up working with the ESB. I, at the time, was working in Extravision. There's a lot of children out there who won't know what that is. And we used to chat, and he came in one day, and he had gone away, and he was his tapes were overdue, and I asked him for £50 at the time. So, as he says, I started as I meant to go on.
Hang on, so for the younger people that might be listening to us during, is Extravision was where you'd go in and you'd rent a videotape, which is a movie or otherwise. I know it's like Flintstone stuff to you at this stage. Yeah, yeah. You can't even play them anymore.
No.
You can't even play them. But you hit him with...
I hit him with a £50 charge.
And did he pay it?
He did.
Well, he must have been an awful devil altogether. How long had he not brought them back for?
I think it was about a month.
And did he watch it every night?
He was living in Mullingar. I can't remember the film, actually. It was probably something stupid, knowing him.
Has he improved with his choice of what he wants to watch?
Oh, of course, yes.
On the dodgy box now,
of
yes.
Course.
Sorry,
no,
on Sky
no
Box.
Yeah. Netflix.
Skybox Netflix, altogether, yeah. We're getting some lovely comments coming in. Pat Flynn, a personal friend of Tom Kenny, is listening in from London and enjoying the programme. Mm-hmm. And morning, Keith, and to Tommy too. My mother and myself, have known Tommy for many years, from the 70s. As a young teenager, Tommy would let me help behind the bar washing the glasses. He's a great man. I remember Aggie Martins with all the wellies and the other items they would sell, as well as beer. I remember going to the carnival and winning a teapot, which we still have. Some great memories. Say hello to Tommy and wish him well from there. And Ian Nocton and Breed Wickham, Nee Nocton, are listening to us as well today. So, love stories begin. Was that one of the rare love stories that came out of Mullingar?
Probably. I do actually remember, and it was only when I was talking to my husband Noel last night, I would have been part of the Mullingar Town Band. We were a marching band.
Good idea.
And the carnival has been stretching for years over here in Ballygar, and I happened to be down. We came down and participated, the Mullingar Town Band, one year in the carnival. So maybe it was destiny I ended up down here.
Yeah, and you love it.
I love it.
And look at no more than what Louise is doing. The impact on the community is magic. So it is. Yeah. Keep it up, guys. Thanks indeed for joining us today. And sorry for picking on Mullingar like that.
Forgive you this time.
I didn't really mean to, so I didn't. But there you go. Guys, thanks for joining us. A quick commercial break here from Ballygar. We're back just after these.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission na Meán.
Very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday today. Let me go to Garda Pat Regan, who's the local guard here, and he sits opposite me today. Pat, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us today on the programme. Again, you're involved in a lot here, so you are Cloud Nine, the youth pub with no beer, and you've been stationed here for 22 years. You were a young man when you came here?
I came here after 4 years service, and I'm here for 22 years and really enjoying it.
Yeah, and it's a lovely community here.
Yeah, well, people who forget, sometimes it's an honour to be a local guard in a local community.
Yeah.
You know, people say you might be stationed in an area, you might do this or that, but sometimes when people put the thrust in you and say that you're the local guard, it's a big honour for me to do it, personally.
Yeah.
You know, people confide in you in a lot of things, and they don't do that willy-nilly, and you have to earn thrust over the years, and I felt I've earned that. Well, I feel people trust me here, which is a big thing for me, and it's a big thing for them.
Yeah,
we seem to work well together.
But when I grew up in the city, but there was a number of Gardaí. There was Mr. Kelly and another, and there were members of Garda Síochána. But they had schlacht on everybody, said they had, and everybody trusted them. And maybe in some of the bigger cities, we're losing that. So it's great to see it in Ballygar.
It is. what would I say about police? Maybe I'm an unusual policeman. I might just do it the way it should be done, but I think I do it my own way and I think it works. I think you, it's the people that police the community. You try to set standards and maybe have a culture. Yeah. I think we have a good culture in this area between Ballygar, Newbridge, Torgar. We have an unbelievable culture. And the culture is that people live fairly well. And I may assist them a little bit along the way, maybe give a dig out here or there, but I feel it's the people that's policed in the area and it's been assisted by me.
Yeah. I know you were on night duty last night, so you're very good to come in today, but that just shows the dedication indeed to the area that you were on duty last night, keeping an eye on everything.
Yeah, I have a fondness for the area. I'm here 22 years. I remember the first day I came here, the very first man I met was Brendan Kelly. Yeah, his mother's funeral here years ago. And I've built up a big relationship with people here.
Yeah.
The one thing I'd say about how would the area have changed over the years, probably when I came here first, there was a lot of full-time farmers. And as a result of that, it went from full-time farmers to part-time farmers. And I think that has brought a big initiative to the area where people have went off and become professionals at other areas. We have a lot of professionals living in this area, whether they're teachers or engineers or doctors, nurses, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then farming is a big part of the community as well.
Yeah.
The one thing I'd say about the massive, massive thing that we have in this town is the secondary school. And I think it's the quality of students that's coming out of here makes policing very, very easily.
Yeah.
There's a serious standard of youth in this area. There's 280 students in the school down here. The way they can portray themselves around the town, the way they mix with the different generations is what makes an area.
Yeah.
Like I've Margaret sitting next to me here, she'd probably vouch for that. What makes an area to me is how the different age groups mix.
Yeah.
If you have all elderly, but the elderly has to mix with the youth.
Yeah.
So the elderly trust the youth, can they communicate with them?
Yeah, and there's an education process in there. They learn about
and
the
And I'll give you a small example. We've a great initiative here, the Community Alert. The Community Alert is for everybody. The Community Alert isn't about... The most important thing for me is that people are safe in their houses in relation to Community Alert.
Yeah.
I'll give you a small example. There's an old lady living across from the school down here, and a couple of students noticed that her wheelie bin wasn't out and her curtains weren't pulled one day. And they contacted Tom Hannon, the caretaker, and Tom rang me and he said, could you just check it? And I had known that she had went to hospital the night before. But it just showed you how the youth were looking out for the elderly.
Yeah.
I thought it was a lovely story.
It's a lovely story. Pat, thanks for popping into us. I want to go to Margaret Egan as well, if you don't mind, Pat. Margaret, morning to you.
Morning,
John. Thanks for joining us today on the programme. Talk to me about Curley's Guest House. And you've worked in the town a long time.
I did, yes.
And you were always involved in helping people.
Pardon?
You were always involved in helping people.
I did, yeah.
All the time. And you'd have secondary school teachers staying in the guest house?
Yeah. Secondary school teachers and bankers and fisheries and all those.
And again, just looking at it, you worked here as well, did you, for a while?
And
did you work here in Kenny's bar for a while?
I did for a while, yes.
Yeah, behind the bar?
Oh, no, I didn't work in the bar, the house.
Oh, the house.
Mrs. Kenny kept boarders too.
Did she?
And did bed and breakfast, so, yeah.
So, and would you mind the house then and get the breakfast ready for them?
Oh, I get the got the breakfast with Mrs. Kenny.
Good on you.
Yeah.
You have very fond memories. I'm looking at you there and you look very healthy, but you must have very fond memories of it.
Pardon?
You have very fond memories of working with Mrs. Kenny.
Yeah.
Oh. And talk to me a little bit about, there was a Dublin teacher. And the Dublin teacher, was he staying in Kenny's or was he staying down in Curley's?
No, he was staying down in Curley's.
Yeah, and what happened? What did the calf do?
She washed a few clothes for herself and she hung them out on the line. So there were two young calves grazing in the garden and they chewed her clothes. Yeah, it is, yeah.
So she went...
Oh, she was mad.
Yeah, but they're all the rage now. Those open foot socks now are all the rage. So they're all together with the toes hanging out. So they were just ahead of their time. But the calves ate the clothes. So
and they chewed the clothes anyway, yeah.
And come here to me. And you looked after the Curley family and they look after you. They work with you now.
Yeah, well, I did. I looked at them. Some mother died when they were young. So I looked after them. And now they look after me.
Wow. Isn't that a lovely story? So you stepped in when Mom passed away?
And?
You stepped in when they needed help?
I did. I was there all the time.
Wow.
I was there before he got before John Calder got married to you.
Wow. Were you? Wow.
Yeah, I came at 14 years of age.
You came at 14 years of age?
Yeah.
That's 10 years ago, was it?
Oh, it's a long time back.
You were 14.
I was,
yeah. Where did you come from?
Back Kiron, mile and a half from Ballygar.
Wow. Good Lord.
Yeah, Patty, I was born in 1936.
Wow, so just before the war?
Pardon?
Just before the war started. Do you remember the war, do you?
Pardon?
Do you remember the war, do you?
I don't know.
No. You'd have been too young.
I would, yeah.
But Pat, isn't just, I'm conscious of time as well, but isn't it lovely to have somebody of Margaret's stature that can talk like that coming here at 14 years of age?
Yeah. That's one thing I love about this community is people forget to say something about banter and a bit of fun. There's great fun in the people in this community. Do you know what I mean? There's people in every community.
Yeah.
But what you get out of them is the most important thing. And one thing I love about this area is the banter and the fun. You'd never leave Ballygar a day without somebody saying something that's outrageously funny. You know, and that makes, you know what I mean? That's what keeps us alive.
Yeah.
You know, that's what keeps us young. Like, Margaret is young at heart, and there's great fun in her. You know, but I just wanted to mention one initiative that we started up here in relation to the youth. We have a youth initiative here. The idea behind it is it's a pub with no beer.
Yeah.
We wanted to have a social centre for youth. It's a technically day, a pub with no beer. We wanted to have a nice, quirky, comfortable social
area
setting
that they could come to.
So we set up a centre, thanks to Father Douglas, who has given us the use of the town hall, and we've done that up like a comfy cafe, quirky pub, and youth socialise there at the weekend.
Wow.
And it's we are so happy with the way it's going.
Is it adult supervised or is it?
It is. It's supervised, but the supervision, you know, it's very key to get the supervision right.
Hands off.
You know, children are used to regimental in sport, used to regimental in schools. We're trying to stay away from that. We're supervising it, but I have to admire the group that switches. They're supervising it spot on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's hard to just get it right, but I think we are.
Others could learn from what you're doing here.
It is. It's a social centre for children. It's an outlet for youth that they can socialise in a safe environment. And that they can say, I was out on Saturday night, where were you? Cloud 9 is the name of this place.
Yeah.
When we started up Cloud 9, was there any rules and regulations? There was a certain amount that was driven by Youth Work Ireland. Helen Butler was a massive help to us. But our motto was, let's break the mould. Let's do something that nobody else did. And I think we have done a lot of that, and it's keeping youth together and they're socialising in a safe environment.
Listen, well done to you. Thanks for joining us, Pat, today. Margaret, you keep up the good work, and she looks mighty, so she does today. Yeah. And well done to the Curley family and what you've done for them and what they're doing for you as well. Well done. Now, yet to come on the programme, we'll be looking and speaking indeed about a tractor and truck run taking place on the 5th of May, giving you full details on that. We'll also be joined by Act for Meningitis. We'll also be joined by Jane Kelly Conroy, who has a lovely story to tell us. We have the City Tribune headline with us today. Dave O'Connell joins us on that, and then Sean Gavin, Fintan Walsh, Jenny Fitzmaurice and Enda Holmes join us, and much more between now and the end of today's programme. If you do want to get in contact with us, so you can do so to our text line. So let's head towards the 10 o'clock news, and we're back just after these.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.